Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. Today we're going to be continuing a message that we began last time, focusing on the birthday of the United States, in particular, the blessings that we have enjoyed as a country. The title of this message that we're wrapping up is Two Promised Blessings.
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word. Here's Pastor Paul Blair.
Amazingly, an English-speaking Indian who happened to like white people walked into Plymouth Plantation. Now, folks, were they just really, really lucky? Or is that God's providence? It's God's providence. Let me ask, is it unreasonable to assume that during this time of the Gentiles, while Israel is trodden underfoot, that God would raise up a Gentile nation to serve his purpose? And what did the psalmist say? Blessed is the Goy, the Gentile nation, whose God is the Lord. And as I said a moment ago, from the landing of the pilgrims, which was little more than a church relocation project led by their pastor with their stated goal as lastly, and which was not least a great hope and inward zeal they had of laying some good foundation, or at least to make some way thereunto for the propagating and advancing the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in those remote parts of the world, yea, though they should be even as stepping stones unto others for the performing of so great a work, to the Puritan migration, which led to the New England Confederation of 1643, which stated their purpose was, whereas we all came into these parts of America with one and the same end and aim, namely to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity with peace, to the great awakening that swept the land and resulted in a biblical worldview for government, which was articulated so beautifully by a young John Adams, stating this in his diary: suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book, and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts there exhibited. Every member would be obliged in conscience to temperance, frugality, and industry, to justice, kindness, and charity towards his fellow men, and to piety, love, and reverence toward Almighty God. What a utopia, what a paradise this region would be. To the First Continental Congress, which before beginning any business, their first official act was to call a local pastor from Christ Church by the name of Jacob Deshaies to lead them in prayer and Bible study. To our nation's birth certificate and statement of faith, which reads, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for the people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them to another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Ladies and gentlemen, the founders believe the laws of nature, nature's God, God's law, natural law, the Bible, and that the purpose of government, as was the purpose of Christ, was for the good of mankind. And an improper government that sought to tyrannize and trample its people was not to be obeyed. And they cried out resistance to tyranny as obedience to God. They went on to say that God gave them this right. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That means no one can take these away. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which, by the way, as a reminder for those of you that are usually here, and for those of you that aren't here, that pursuit of happiness is not a license to lasciviousness. Sir William Blackstone defined that as that, like this: since we are a created people, we cannot find happiness unless we are walking in the will of our Creator. Therefore, we are free to pursue our own true and substantial happiness. What does that mean? It means that no man can restrict us from being able to study God's Word and seek to walk in God's will. Whether that be developing property, building a business in a godly fashion, raising a godly family, or anything else, if God has given you that privilege, then no person can take that away from you or country. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Oh, let me write in here, and to grant Obamacare. I forgot. They weren't thinking about that. And to allow the NSA to spy on us. I forgot to add that. And to allow the IRS to use our credit cards. I forgot to put that in there. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter and to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. America has never been perfect. America has never had perfect men in office. But this nation was settled and born by people who had a genuine reverence and love for Almighty God. And ladies and gentlemen, there is no other explanation for America's power and prosperity and success other than Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Folks, how in the world does a nation without an army, 3 million people made up of farmers and businessmen, stand against the strongest army and navy on the planet and win? There's not a logical reason other than Psalm 33:12. How did America, in such a short lifetime, prosper? We at one time became the head and not the tail. How did we prosper so abundantly? Psalm 33:12. How did we take a bunch of farmers that were working their family's land and call them into service after December 7th, 1941, and train our youngsters to become warriors, and then have a battle against a professional army in Europe and a battle against a professional army in the Pacific Theater to fight on two fronts and win? How do you explain that? Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But ladies and gentlemen, just as the text says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, you can reasonably conclude that cursed is the nation who rejects God as the Lord. And in 1962, we officially denied God. We had a standard, as stated in our birth certificate. We have a creator. Our rights come from him. He decides what right and wrong is, and it is articulated in the laws of nature and nature's God, the Holy Scriptures. But we kicked God out and began worshiping at the feet of Marx and Darwin, and it has taken roughly 50 years to fully realize the fruit of godlessness. Look at what Isaiah said about Israel and compare that to America. They became greedy in their wealth rather than generous. What about Bernie Madoff? What about Enron? What about the idiots in Washington who had the audacity to tell Americans that you aren't smart enough to take care of your own retirement? We'll take care of it for you. We're going to start holding out 15.3% of your income. We'll put it right here. We'll put it right here. Safety deposit lockbox here. That'll be your Social Security. It's a lockbox. Don't have to forget. And then borrow every cent out of it and fill it full of IOUs. They were covetous. I have no other explanation for what happens to these people we send to Washington. Men like Marco Rubio, who campaign as constitutionalists, and once they get there, they lose their mind. Covetousness. Drink the Kool-Aid of the opportunity for higher office, more power, more money. They were no longer ashamed of immorality, even celebrating homosexuality, and paraded and reveled in their debauchery. Our national platform now, the position of our federal government, now has taken June, which was forever the month of weddings. How many of you got married in June? We did. Forever known as the month of weddings. The rest of you all aren't legally married. I want you to know that. Only June weddings count. But they've taken the month of June and renamed it Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, and Questioning Month. No longer is it a shame to sin. Now we celebrate it. Things that God, common sense, and experience call evil, we are now calling good. Things that God, experience, and common sense call good, they now are calling evil. If you check the official position of the Department of Homeland Security, you may be a terrorist if you are carry a constitution. You may be a terrorist if you're a veteran. You may be a terrorist if you believe the Bible literally or talk about end times. But we can have a Muslim shoot up a bunch of soldiers at Fort Hood, a man that carries a card that says soldier of Allah, that cries out Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, as he's shooting American soldiers. And that is not terrorism. That's only workplace violence. We've lost our minds. They were proud and arrogant. Their court system became corrupt. Boy, are we there. We've got a Supreme Court that literally drafts law from the bench, which they do not have the constitutional right to do. They denied and abandoned God. Like I said, Lincoln, I believe, said that the policies of the next generation is formed in the classroom in this generation. In 62, we took God out. We've removed prayer in the Bible. They'll say, well, the people can pray in school, but that's not the point. We have taken the foundation of America out. The foundation is a creator, read the Declaration, the laws of nature, nature's God, a biblical worldview. Once you strip that out, then no longer is there a creator that grants rights. Well, where do rights come from at that point? The government. And government becomes God. In any totalitarian society, that's the answer. God warned that he would give them base or ignorant princes. Go ahead and insert your own joke there. Some of these are just too easy. That their military would crumble. Folks, we have had the finest military in world history. But we are going to wear them out in constant war. We are going to rip the heart out of them by stripping the Bible out, which was the foundation of the military to begin with. We're going to dishearten them by persecuting Christians in the military, which we are doing. I think your son has attested to that. We now have open homosexuality in the military, and we have women on the front lines. And we're cutting the military. How many combat brigades are we? Yeah. Bible says that the economy would crumble. We're $17 trillion in debt. $200 trillion in unfunded mandates. I think that qualifies. You know, the world's insane too, ladies and gentlemen. You can see where we're heading as we studied through Revelation. We're going to see economic collapse. No, we won't, but there will be economic collapse. We may see a precursor. We'll see some. Folks, don't think for a minute that we're going to miss. It's going to be sunshine and roses while we're here. It could run the risk of being awful on this planet. But I was talking to a friend of mine that's in the financial world the other day. I said, how come gold and silver are soft when we're printing money like crazy? He says, because every nation in the world is trying to devalue their currency. So everybody's doing it at the same time, trying to devalue their currency. America's still the strongest and best option. So the whole world is hyperinflating or trying to. I'm sure that's going to be a good outcome. That they would eventually be conquered and judged through incurable disease, unsafe streets, famine, and invasion by enemies. Ladies and gentlemen, God will not be mocked. Let God be true and every man a liar. And ladies and gentlemen, at Fairview, understand that the mission of reclaiming America for Christ, understand what that mission is. We will not save America. Zechariah 14 says that at the Battle of Armageddon, all nations will gather together against Jerusalem. Joel 3, while referencing the same battle, says that all nations will gather together against Jerusalem. Revelation 16 says that the kings of the earth and of the whole world will be gathered together at Armageddon. It seems clear that at the end of the tribulation, even America will turn against God and attack Israel at Armageddon. My prayer and my hope is that America will not fully apostatize and face God's wrath until after the church is gone. And if we could see another great awakening sweep our land, as we have seen at times before in America's history, then perhaps, as God did for righteous Josiah, God will restrain and delay what we deservedly have coming to us. While at Plymouth last week, I was asked a question by a strong conservative Tennessee state legislator. She asked me if I thought it was too late. I said this, I don't know, but I do know two things. Number one, we've been given a commission and our orders haven't changed. The Bible says, occupy until I come. I have a command to be salt and light. I have a command to hold the ground, to occupy until I come. I have a command to not be on defense, but to attack the gates of hell. And I intend to do just that. Secondly, I said to her, God is sovereign. It's His call. But I also reminded her this, that God does His greatest work at the darkest hour. Consider, for example, when God brought Israel out of captivity in Egypt. God led them. They weren't out of His will. They were right in the middle of His will, following His direction. Next thing you know, they were hemmed in the wilderness with nowhere to turn, and the Egyptian army in all their might was right there nipping at their heels. There was nothing that they could do. There was no way that they could stand. All they could do was cry out to God, and guess what? The Red Sea parted. They went across on dry land, and the Egyptian army was destroyed. God does His greatest work when man recognizes that only God can save him. Consider when Jerusalem was surrounded by the Assyrian army, and there was a good king on the throne at that time. He wasn't disobedient. Hezekiah was a godly man. Say, God, this doesn't make sense. And now listen to them. They're mocking you. They say, who's this God? We've destroyed all these other nations and their gods. Who is your God that he could stand against the mighty king of Assyria? Bad, bad mistake on their part. He took these letters that he had received mocking them and mocking God, and he laid them before the altar and said, God, we can't do anything. But your name's on the line here. Wasn't even a big issue for God. What's that petition coming in? Surrounded? Okay. How many 100,000 Assyrians are there? Okay, you, go take care of them. One angel. Now, folks, that encourages me, because when I think about Jesus saying in Gethsemane that he could call down 12 legions, that's 84,000, any moment that he needed to. That means he's got a lot of power, because that one night when Hezekiah prayed, God sent one, just one. Okay, you go take care of it. 185,000 Assyrians were killed in that one evening. But what was the situation? Jerusalem was helpless. Nothing they could do. That's when God does his greatest work. Consider the days after Christ's crucifixion. The discouragement of the disciples. What's happened? I thought he was the Messiah. I thought he was going to establish his kingdom. I just don't get it. What's going on? The darkest hour in their lives. And 72 hours later, the tomb was empty. Victory was assured. Folks, God does his greatest work at times just like what we're facing right now. But in each case, God acted on behalf of righteous men, whether that be Moses or Hezekiah and Isaiah or Jesus. We must be righteous for God to act on our behalf. What can we do? Number one, we're going to teach as many kids about Jesus and train them to be champions for Christ and think with a biblical worldview. We are going to focus wholeheartedly on Liberty Christian Academy. Our prayer is that we have 40 students this semester. Our prayer is that we double it to 80 next year. Our prayer is, and we're going to need a bigger building to do it, that we go to 160 the year following, and then to 300 the year following. And then we'll see where God takes us at that point in time. Number two, we want to reach as many people as we can through evangelism explosion, through child evangelism fellowship, and through Awanas, making disciples of Christ. Number three, we want to reach into the UCO campus and make our presence felt. Folks, why is it that the Muslim Student Association is working on our campus and we aren't? We have maybe 10, 12 college students, maybe 15, 20 on a real good night here on a Wednesday night. Why don't we have 150 college students here? Why don't we have a building on the UCO campus and build it just a little bit taller than the mosque that they're planning on building? And teach a biblical worldview through our radio opportunities. As I said, the Lord has opened a door in Boston. Lord willing, we'll be able to go through it. Number five, we're going to equip you. You are the special forces of Christianity. You must not just know right from wrong, but you must know why it is right and wrong. You must be able to defend a biblical worldview. Ladies and gentlemen, you are ambassadors for Christ. Know truth. Share truth with others. Share our videos with your family and friends. Share our sermons. I know many of you do this. Many of you buy like 10 of these sermons after each Sunday and take them and give them to coworkers and family and friends. Continue to do that. Hand out tracts. Invite people to church. Participate in our ministries. Go through EE if you haven't already. Learn to share your faith. Participate in Child Evangelism Fellowship. Participate in our Awana ministry. Make a difference reaching the world around you that God has placed you in. The rest and the results are up to God. Happy 237 years, America. And may we be worthy of God's continued blessings. A nation cannot be Christian in and of itself. The term means that the people within the nation adhere to Christianity, but that is a decision that an individual must make. Deciding what you're going to do with Jesus is a decision that each individual on the planet must make. But understand this, you cannot go to heaven without Jesus. We were created different, the Bible says. We aren't like animals that can just be trained but don't have the ability to reason. The Bible created us different than all other creation. We were created to fellowship with our God. We were created to have dominion on the earth, and we blew it. We sinned. The Bible says that all have sinned. And every one of us, honestly, if you were asked to testify, would have to admit that every one of us have sinned. All of us fall short. And ladies and gentlemen, we are not graded on the curve. It's either perfect or you fall short. The Bible says that the wages of sin, the consequences of sin, is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. Being separated from God. Isaiah 55 says that our sins and our trespasses have caused him to hide his face from us. And we are separated from our God because of it. If we die in that condition, we'll spend eternity in that condition, separated from God in a place called hell. God doesn't want us to go there. Hell wasn't made for you. It wasn't made for me. Matthew 25:41 says that hell was made for the devil and his angels. But if you die in your sins, you will most certainly go there. Because as God is just, he cannot help but be just. But because of God's love for us, he provided a means to pay that debt. Emmanuel, God became flesh and dwelt among us. We called his name Jesus. He fulfilled the law. He was perfect. He went to the cross as our sacrificial lamb. In fact, he was called the Lamb of God. And God the Father placed on his shoulders the sins of the world. And he gave his life as payment for the debt that we owe. Justice was met through Calvary's cross. The payment was paid in full, and we know it was, as 3 days and three nights later, death could not hold Jesus. Wages of sin is death. Jesus died and was released from the chains of death. He conquered death. The debt was paid. He proved to the world through the power of the resurrection that he was who he said he was. Walked with those that saw him, some 500 in total, for the next 40 days, then ascended to heaven, giving them the commission to do what I'm doing right now, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And each and every one of us are given a choice. Who is Jesus? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As I have told you frequently, and will probably do every week because it's the best illustration I know, the Bible refers to Jesus as the bridegroom, refers to us as his bride. And in every wedding that I've ever done, I have looked at the groom and said, "Do you take this woman?" And he says, "I do." I look at the bride and I say, "Do you take this man?" She says, "I do." Based upon their mutual consent, I can officially pronounce them as husband and wife. Jesus said, "I do," to you and to me and to every one of us almost 2,000 years ago when he willingly went to the cross to die for our sins. Now, God the Father looks at us individually and says, "What is your response?" Whosoever says, "I do," whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And whosoever refuses to do so will not be saved. And their eternal destiny is sealed. America has been called a Christian nation because of the principles that we're founded on, but that doesn't make you a Christian. What have you done with Jesus? We thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.